So as Lisa said, we're going to do things in a slightly different way this evening. So we're going to spread the sermon out throughout the course of this evening. So this evening I want us to explore the passage in three parts tonight. I want us to journey through the scene together to understand all that is going on and what that might mean for each of us. As we go through our story tonight, we will pause to sing together. We will share bread and wine together, and finally be challenged to live restored lives because of what Jesus has done for us. So let's hear the passage this evening. Let's listen to the story as it unfolds and then begin to understand its significance in our lives. Lisa's going to come and read to us from Matthew chapter 15.
Verses 21 to 28. Jesus left that place and went off to the territory near the cities of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman who lived in that region came to him. "Son of David," she cried out, "have mercy on me, sir. My daughter has a demon and is in a terrible condition." But Jesus did not say a word to her. His disciples came to him and begged him, "Send her away. She's following us and making all this noise." Then Jesus replied, "I have been sent only to the lost sheep of the people of Israel." At this, the woman came and fell at his feet. "Help me, sir," she said. Jesus answered, "It isn't right to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." "That's true, sir," she answered. "But even the dogs eat the leftovers that fall from their master's table." So Jesus answered her, "You are a woman of great faith. What you want will be done for you." And at that very moment, her daughter was healed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The first thing we learn from this passage is that Jesus offers restoration for the people of Israel. The seven verses and their significance can often be overlooked. In many ways, it's just another act of healing that Jesus performs. It doesn't appear to be particularly dramatic or difficult for him. And it doesn't seem to create the same level of amazement or anger as some of his more public healings did. So why is this story even here? What can this story teach us this evening? Well, this passage takes on significance when we understand its context in terms of why Matthew has included it here in this section and what he is trying to demonstrate to his readers. If you look back in the previous chapter, Jesus has performed a number of miracles. He has fed a great crowd, around 5,000 people. He has walked on water to greet his disciples and has spent time healing the sick. He has done all of this amongst the people of Israel. And as his fame has spread, as his popularity has risen, so he has been hounded and questioned by the religious leaders of the day as they seek to trap him and to discredit him. In fact, at the beginning of this chapter, we read that the Pharisees have been at it again, this time over ritual cleaning. Jesus slams their hypocrisy and leaves Israel to get some peace. He moves towards the region of Tyre and Sidon, which is now in modern-day Lebanon, and it is here that this encounter with the woman takes place. In these seven verses, we gain an understanding of the mission that Jesus has been given. In a way, these verses help us to understand the commission given to the disciples in Acts 1, where they are called to be witnesses in Jerusalem first, then Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus had a mission to the people of God. His primary role was to bring restoration to God's chosen people. The people of Israel were the children of God. It was Israel that had the special relationship with God throughout history. They had been the ones that had entered into a covenant relationship with God, but had gone away from it. They were the lost sheep that Jesus had come to shepherd home. So when the Canaanite woman approaches Jesus to heal her daughter, Jesus is able to use this moment to teach a lesson to his disciples about the purpose of his ministry, and also to show up in them some of their prejudices and attitudes that still needed to be challenged. As the woman petitions Jesus for help, he remains silent, as if he is ignoring her. She's a woman and a foreigner, and this would have been a culturally acceptable thing for Jesus to do. She persists in her petitions, and eventually the disciples ask Jesus to tell her to go away. And then Jesus says, "I have been sent only to the lost sheep of the people of Israel." And I guess we find this strange. I found it strange when I read this. Jesus came for all who were lost. So why did he say this? I believe he said this because that is what the disciples were expecting him to say. This woman was not part of the plan. Send her away. But Jesus was testing the woman, testing her faith, and teaching the disciples, as we shall see as the story unfolds. Jesus is asserting here his primary mission to bring restoration to the people of God, to the people of Israel. But if they were going to reject him, as the Pharisees were doing, he would move his mission forward and take it beyond the borders of Israel. The main body of this story centres on a wonderful interchange that takes place between Jesus and the woman. And we learn that Jesus offers restoration to the woman. It is in this interchange that the woman's faith is tested and the long-held prejudices and religious and cultural doctrines of the disciples are challenged. You see, they're grown up learning stuff and being indoctrinated, as it were, or encultured to live in a certain way and hold certain views. And Jesus here is seeking to break that and to challenge their thinking. Jesus talks to the woman, as we've already said, in the manner that would be expected of a Jewish rabbi. He didn't talk at all at first, and this would have been totally consistent with the culture. A Jewish rabbi wouldn't even talk to his wife in public. And a rabbi certainly wouldn't speak to a woman in public. And definitely wouldn't speak to a foreigner, a Gentile. So Jesus was well within his rights as a rabbi, as a teacher, to ignore this woman. But as she persists and the disciples grow frustrated with her noise, Jesus chooses to intervene and speaks to the woman. She falls at his feet and begs him for help. She's already acknowledged him as Lord. We read that in verse 22. And now she kneels at his feet and begs him. It is here that this amazing little exchange takes place. Jesus' response to her pleading is this. He says, "It is not right to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." What is actually being said here? On the surface, it sounds rude. But when you look deeper, there is some fascinating imagery being used, and the disciples are being taught through all of it. The first thing we need to understand here is that the Jews would refer to Gentiles as dogs. It was a derogatory term for them. The term children would have been understood to mean the children of God. In other words, the people of Israel. So Jesus talks to the woman in what would have been a very expected manner again. The rabbi's teachings are for the children of God. And the dogs, the Gentiles, are not important. And so they're excluded from the food. But Jesus does give the woman a glimmer of hope, as the term he uses for dog isn't the normal phrase that the Jews would have used for a Gentile. They would have used a term that would have meant a wild dog or an untamed dog. But Jesus uses a word that would be better understood as being a puppy or a pet dog. Her reply to Jesus is brilliant. She says, "That's true, sir. But even the dogs eat the leftovers that fall from their master's table." She picks up on this subtle play on words. And rather than being offended by his words, she accepts them. But she also challenges them. The woman knew that to a Jew, she was of little importance. She knew that as a teacher such as he had no need to respond to her pleas. She understood the terms that Jesus was using, and she accepted them. You see, Jesus was part using them for her to test her resolve. How faithful was she? How much did she want this? Did she really trust in him? But he was using it too for the disciples. "This is what you think of this woman," he's saying to them. "This woman is of no importance to you. That's what your culture tells you." In recognizing that she is of little importance, she is able to make her response. Even pet dogs, even puppies, are allowed to feed off the scraps that fall from the table. She's not pushing herself forward or promoting herself as more deserving than others. She merely wants the chance to pick up the crumbs that the others drop. She recognizes the blessings that the Master gives to his children, that God has given to the people of Israel. And she's prepared to wait at the table to get the leftovers. Jesus is the bread that the Master gives. The Jews are the children that are given the bread. The Gentiles must wait for anything that's left. She's declaring that she's prepared to wait. Jesus teaches the disciples a lesson through the faith of the woman. He has come for the Jews, but if they don't eat at the table, then the Gentiles will be allowed. For me, it's clear from this interchange that Jesus' primary mission was for the Jews, but also he came for all. The woman's faith is an example of this. Because of her faith and determination, Jesus restores her and he restores her daughter. The ministry and mission of Jesus mean that we too are offered a place at this table. Not as dogs waiting for scraps, but as his children, ready to receive the bread and the wine that he offers to each of us. His body broken, his blood spilt, so that we might be made right, restored, just like the woman and her daughter, with God. We're going to pause again. Not just yet, you can... Or have I got the wrong order? All confusing, isn't it? We are going to sing again. "My Lord, what love is this?" And then we're going to move into communion together, and we'll come back to the story in a minute. We've journeyed a long way together this evening. We have seen how Jesus came to bring restoration to the children of Israel. We have witnessed how Jesus brings restoration to the Gentile woman, and by so doing invites each of us to his table. But the deep significance of this passage is only truly understood when the context is made clear. As we have already seen, there is a reason that Matthew places the story here. It is to contrast and highlight the ministry of Jesus. He has fed 5,000 people in Israel, where Jesus is giving bread to the children of God. He has been challenged by the Pharisees about eating bread with unclean hands, and Jesus has highlighted their own hypocrisy. He has left Israel to go to Lebanon, probably for some peace and quiet. But here, he has been challenged about the exclusivity of his ministry. The setting for the story and what happens afterwards are crucial in Matthew's gospel, as they reinforce that Jesus came to bring restoration for all. The fact that Matthew specifically mentions the place that Jesus has gone to as being the region of Tyre and Sidon would have been significant to his readers. You see, Tyre and Sidon represent the enemies of Israel. Jesus and his disciples are now in the land of the Canaanites, the old term for those living in the promised land. And all through their history, that region has been opposed to the Israelites. And not much has changed today. I've been fortunate enough to visit both Tyre and Sidon, and both of these areas are full of Palestinian refugees who have a real dislike and distrust of Israel and all that it stands for. Centuries of bitterness, hatred and mistrust have built up between both parties. If we go back in Matthew to chapter 11, we see that Jesus refers to Tyre and Sidon. Matthew uses these words deliberately because of the long-standing animosity between the two groups. And in chapter 11, it says that they will be treated less harshly than Jewish cities who reject Jesus. And this is because of their past restoration from God. You see, they had sinned, but they had turned back to God. Once those sins had been brought to light, they had recognized that they needed to change. Remember the stories in the Old Testament where people put on sackcloth and ashes to demonstrate their repentance and their restoration. And Matthew highlights this as it is in stark contrast to the Jews and their current rejection of Jesus. Matthew wants to make the point to his readers that Jesus' very presence in that region demonstrates his wider mission to reach all peoples. Later in chapter 15 that we've read this evening, Jesus feeds 4,000 people. And in a way, that story emphasizes the journey that Jesus and his disciples have made in terms of understanding his ministry. You see, unlike the feeding of the 5,000 people, this feeding takes place in Gentile territory. There are more loaves and more fishes involved, but the clear message from Matthew to his readers is this: Jesus offers bread to all. So how would this story challenge us as individuals tonight, as we get ready to go out and face the week that lies ahead? How will it challenge us as a church as we seek to live for God in this community? Well, I wonder if there are times when each of us in our individual lives and as a church behaves a little bit like the disciples and the Jewish people. We see church as being for people like us. It's not for the stranger, They're only going to mess it up and spoil it. We don't want to invite our neighbours because this is our space. This is where we go. But Jesus challenges us to think differently. The challenge of this passage, the challenge of this woman, is to remember that Jesus has opened up the table for all to sit and eat. His church should be open to all, lest we become as hypocritical as the Pharisees. I wonder if there are times when we lack faith. We know that Jesus is there for us. We know of all the things that he can do in our lives and through our lives. But we lack the faith to allow him to work. Well, perhaps we can learn from the woman in the story and allow our faith to guide our actions rather than to hold us back. The woman was prepared to step out in faith, to take a risk and to face humiliation to get what she needed for her daughter. Are we that committed? Do we display such faith as her? Are we prepared to speak out, to call out, to stand out in the face of humiliation or ridicule, to receive the blessings that Jesus has for us and for those around us? It's important for us to remember as we go out into the week ahead that Jesus has come for all. He came to bring restoration to the Israelites. He came to give restoration to the Gentiles. He came so that each of us, through his sacrifice, might have restoration also. I think it's a great message to receive. It's a great message to share. And it's an exciting message to live every day. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for this story from Matthew's Gospel, these 7 verses that teach us about your love and about your mission and about your ministry to us. We thank you for the faith of this woman, that she was prepared to reach out to Jesus, knowing the ridicule and humiliation that she could face, knowing the rejection that could come her way. But still she reached out, believing, trusting that Jesus would help her. Father God, we long for a faith such as this, a faith that enables us to reach out for you, a faith that enables us to speak out for you, to live lives for you, to take risks, to dare, but knowing that you're with us, that you're standing beside us, that you have restored us, and you've called us to live. Help us not to become hypocritical, to look inwards, to protect what we have, but help us to reach out for you and for this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.